To stand in a relationship with you, it is I who do that. Listen again to John 6:37. He say, all that a Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Again, it tells us that it is God who draw through the gospel. He called many, many. He called millions. But out of the millions, it is only the individuals that will accept the call. Those who believe that. Those who not just hear about it, but those, yes, will process it and counter cost. This is what it takes to follow the Master. It is those that respond that comes from the Father to Jesus. Here in Isaiah 53:11 give us the same picture, the same analogy. If he say here in Isaiah 53:11, he say, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Now, if I can go back to that verse, he say, after the suffering or the anguish of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Now, here is an awesome truth. Just like Jesus said, the Father who draws, this anguish, this suffering of Jesus' soul on the cross of Calvary was for people, to draw people unto himself. And the more people comes to him and giving their lives to him, his soul is being satisfied. Not the crowds. It is not the crowds. Jesus said to the religious crowds of his day in John 5:39-40, say, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. It's not the crowds. It is this very same crowds that rejected Jesus. And I'm going to show you here again in John 6. Exactly the same thing happened. You know, Acts 7:51 say, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and uncircumcised ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And what is the Bible say? And what does he mean with uncircumcised hearts and ears? Ears who refuse to listen to the truth and hearts that refuse to accept that truth. That is why God called them your stiff-necked people. It's not the crowds. It's the crowds that are stiff-necked. In Matthew 23:37, Jesus said to the crowds, to the multitudes, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your chickens together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. It's not that he say, but you were not ready. In the fullness of time, when everything was ready for his appearance, he come. And light pierced the darkness. That is what Galatians say. In the fullness of time, when everything was prepared for the revelation of the Messiah, he came to reveal God. God became flesh. He said, how many times I try to gather you as a nation, as a crowd, can I say that? But you are not willing. You see, friends, this is what the crowds do. This is the crowd's attitude. So let's turn again to John 6, as from verse 60 onwards. So Jesus tell them about the cost of discipleship. He tell them that He is the bread of life. He tell them even there in the wilderness when Moses was there and God promised to them to give them manna every day of the week, and they will have enough. And as the crowds boast about their fathers, their forefathers eating the manna, and Jesus took that very same truth and the analogy and said, you know what? I am that manna. What your fathers eat there was a foreshadow to me. And they miss it. They miss that. Just like Noah and his days. And the crowds who hear the message of hope for 120 years as Noah building the ark under the commands of God, because there's a destruction on its way, were the crowds. It was the crowds that mock him. It was the crowds who reject his message. Until the flood came. And only 8 people survive. You see, it's a foreshadow. Because Peter come and Peter talk about referring back to Noah's time, where he come and make the same analogy about Christ, that He died for us, that He's the ark. And those who were in Noah's day who's in the ark is been saved. And those who are in Christ is been saved. He make another analogy, the Bible, taking the serpent, the bronze serpent that Israel was complaining against Moses again, there's no water. And God sent poisonous snake among the people, and they've been bitten, and many of them died. And they cry unto Moses for mercy and grace and please. And Moses cry unto God for mercy, and God said to Moses, make a brazen snake, a brazen serpent, put it on a stake and lift it up high so that whosoever look at it can be healed, can be saved, can be restored. Seeing is believing. And Jesus himself said, if I am lifted up from this earth, just as that snake that has been made by Moses, seeing is also believing. To put your faith in Christ that has been lifted up, then I will draw all men to myself. I will draw them. They will not come to me naturally. I need to draw them. And that is through the gospel. So here in John 6 verse 60 to 61, the Bible say on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept that? Wow. Verse 61 say, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? This is my ultimatum. This is my claims. This is my verdict. You want to follow me? You want to serve me? You want to bow down to my lordship? Well, this is what you have to comply to. This is what you have to conform to. I'm not going to lower down my standards just for you. You think that I am like you? No, I'm not like you. I am the master and you are the creatures that I made. And they don't realize that. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept that? My dear friends, the crowds will always be offended because the gospel will always be offended. Many people, even here in the mission, is being offended of the truth. Because many people can't handle the truth. And then they feel offended. as if Jesus is going to lower his standards and throw his values for the pigs. You want to follow Christ? Then you bow down to his statutes, to his decrees, to his claims. That's it. You take it or you leave it. That is my paraphrasing of what Jesus say here. It is a hard saying. It's hard teaching. Yes, we live in a time, in an age where people disregard the teachings of God. Water it down. We live in a postmodern age where people say the Bible is no more relevant. We will create our own truth. And only that, only truth is truth when it is truth for us. And if we don't accept that truth, then it is not the truth. There is no such thing anymore as absolute truth. The Bible is old-fashioned. Away with it. That is what we are living in. And that is the condition of our world. And this is also in many instances the condition of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So where is the truth? Jesus has his claims on you and me. He say, you want to follow me? There is a cost involved. Now, after Jesus say this, here in verse 65 to 67, the Bible say, you know, the people is leaving him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him or her. He draw them. He draw them. Then from verse 66, from this time many of his disciples turned their backs and no longer follow him. Did you hear that? Because of the cost that is so high. Because of the cost to follow Christ. It's not on their terms. It's not on their merits. But it's on the terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are so offended that they turn their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many even today that do that. And looking then to his disciples, he asked them, you do not want to leave too, do you? Peter, while they standing there and looking at the crowds, don't you guys also want to leave? If you want to leave, Peter, this is the time. This is the time. You reach a point here where you need either to make a concrete, deliberate, calculated decision to either follow me or turn around now. It reminds me of Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. Can you remember that story where Naomi's husband passed away and her two sons? They are in a foreign country, a foreign land, and her two daughters-in-law, no more husbands, telling those two ladies, please go back to your lands and to your gods. I have no sons to give you as husbands. I'm old. I need to go back where I come from. Please leave me. And both of those ladies kissed Naomi, and they cry bitterly. And Orpah turn around, and she go back to her gods. And she was the mother, according to Josephus, the mother of Goliath and his brothers. Yeah, this story could be so different of Orpah if she choose the right choice to make like Ruth. And what did Ruth say? The truth feel offended? It was the truth. That's why I said many people can't handle the truth. Maybe who listen to me at this moment can't handle the truth. And they maybe put off the radio or they walk away from it. I don't want to serve God. This God is a monster or whatever your thoughts is about God. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ has his demands. And his demands we need to fulfill. And Ruth said to Naomi, please don't nag with me. Please, please stop nagging. Stop asking me to go back to my God. Stop! Because wherever you go, I go. Wherever you stop, I stop. Wherever you sleep, I sleep. Wherever you stay, I stay. Wherever you die, I die. Your God is my God. Oh, are you offended today? Do you want to follow Christ? It really brought us or bring us in this hour to a place in our lives to say, Lord, why do I want to follow Christ? Why do I follow Him? For those who want to follow Christ, why do you want to follow Him? Is it like He's some sort of a lucky dip? Is He some sort of sugar daddy that you can get whatever you want and name and claim and frame it? Is that why you want to sort your life out? But you don't really want to follow Him. You don't really want to serve Him. You are just one of the crowds that just want to get your belly filled. You just want your need to be filled. And your greatest need of forgiveness, you don't even realize that. Why do you follow Christ for those who already said, no, but I do follow Him? Why do you follow Him? Are you follow Him as what? As how He walk, as 1 John 2:6 say? And I ask that question myself, my dear listener. And for you who sit here in front of me, I ask myself this question. Why do I follow Him? Do I really want to associate it with Jesus? Those who walk away don't want to associate themselves with Jesus. Because when I do associate myself with someone, that means what He say, I agree. His commands, I do. His wishes is my commands. And I love Him and I don't want to hurt Him. I don't want to jeopardize my relationship with Him. I want people to see that in my brokenness, I reflect something of my Jesus and that I bow down to His Lordship in my life and the splendor and His majesty. That He is my God. He is my Redeemer. He is my Lord and my Savior. That is what I want to reflect. And though I am human and I'm fragile and I have limited and my abilities are limited and I am a sinner saved by grace, His grace for me is sufficient enough. God is more than enough for me because He restores my soul and He revives that. That's why I follow Him. Not just to have a ticket that I will not go to hell, but that I can make Him known to others who do not know Him, to install hope in others, to tell them that there's a better life to live than what you live now. Maybe you are an addict. Maybe you are an alcoholic. Maybe you are some handicapped. Maybe you have some disabilities. Maybe you have gone through hell and back in your circumstances. And maybe you think there's no better life. Jesus got a better life. But to follow Him, to attain that life, you must know there's a cost involved to follow Him. And I want to come to a conclusion of my message, friends. You know, when Jesus said, this is my demands to follow me, when here in John 6 and even in Luke 14, and He give His commands and the multitudes follow Him, Jesus has selected 12 people out of the masses. And out of the 12, can we call it a crowd? If you have two people or three people, that is a crowd. That is not a pair or a team. It's a crowd now. Out of the crowd, out of the 12, Jesus chose 3. Out of that crowd, He chose 1. And it boils down to the individual life. Do you want to follow me? I want you to listen to the Master's heart. I want you to see God's heart for you. And I want to make it personally. There is no one else that can save you and me. Not the gods of this world. Not the religions of this world. They try, all of them try to give answers to life's toughest questions. All of them try to present to the world something better. All of them try to say there is a life hereafter where you can share it in bliss, but this is what you must do. They must always do something for salvation. To follow Christ, there's also something that we must do. What we must do is not for salvation. It's not based on my merits of my goodness, but solemnly on the goodness and grace of God. But what I must do, I must count the cost. What will I lose in the process if I want to follow Christ? If I want Him to straighten out my life, if I want Him to restore my life, what is the cost involved? And we didn't touch on it yet, but we will. Because when you read further in Luke 14 and you see the cost involved and the characteristics of a true disciple, then it gives us second thoughts to say, well, am I really want to follow Christ? Do I really want to follow Him? Do I really want to be a disciple of Jesus? Not for salvation. Part and parcel to follow Him. So, I want to leave us with this thought. My dear brothers and sisters, for those who listen to me, Jesus is calling. He's calling to us for a life of discipleship. A life, a way of life. It is not a once-off thing to say, okay, I'm going to obey God today and tomorrow not. No. He wants you to process what He's saying to us. Did He talk to you today? May God find you willing. Willing to give your life to Him. To follow Him. To be His disciple, to surrender your life to Him, and to walk as He has walked, especially if you claim that you've been born out of Him. God bless you, and may you experiencing what it is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.